This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This month is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. John Massengill is the Assistant Head Start and Early Head Start Director for the area. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
So first of all, a lot of people are pretty familiar, but just in case somebody isn't, just talk about Head Start in general and what it is.
Okay. So we're an early learning preschool environment for, we serve pregnant moms for children up to kindergarten age, helping them get socially and emotionally ready and a head start for school. And we serve 412 kiddos and families all across the county.
So as Assistant Head Start, Early Head Start Director, what's kind of your job description?
So I'm in charge of hiring staff, our training plan, making sure our curriculum is developmentally appropriate, and keeping the day-to-day operations running.
So how long have you been at Head Start?
I've been there 27 years. I've been the assistant director for about 8 years.
So what were you doing when you started out?
I started out, first I was a parent with children in the program, and I fell in love with it and became a teacher assistant and then a teacher and then just kept working my way up through administration.
So, and then you ended up, I guessing, going back to school at some point?
Oh, yes. Yes, the Head Start helped me get my degrees and clear up through a graduate degree in early childhood development.
Wow. And where'd you do that at?
Southern Oregon University.
So that's a lot to do when you've got kids.
It is a lot to do. And I used to help with the Babe Ruth softball and baseball and 4-H, but it was a lot of fun. Yep.
So once you got there and got interested, what was it that made you want to kind of move up and, I mean, work on, you know, additional degrees and all of that to be able to do what you're doing now?
So I enjoy the whole family approach. We're a multi-generational program for Head Start and Early Head Start. So we help the kids not only get ready for school, but we help parents and families who are living in poverty set goals, move forward, and help get themselves out of the system and set up so they can support their children.
Now, that's an interesting point because some people talk about families remaining in a system forever, but your goal is to really help people improve their lot in life.
That's right. So we encourage parents to be working, to go to school. We provide, you know, the childcare and the preschool environment so they can do that. We work hard with them to set goals. What does their family need? Where do they envision themselves in 10 years? We help them connect with lots of community resources to help address things like being unhoused or food insecurity or job training, all of those types of things.
Wow. So a lot going on there. And what was the age range again?
We have pregnant moms and children up to age 5.
So a wide range there. Now, Head Start is in multiple locations, right?
Yeah, we have classrooms in Sutherland, Roseburg, the Winchester and Green areas, Winston, and down in Myrtle Creek that serve all of the South County area.
And just like a regular elementary school, middle school, whatever, I imagine that it was necessary to do that. Because really, you've got families that you don't need to add one more thing like, oh, yeah, you've got to drive the kid 20 miles to get there.
Right. We try to serve children within an hour bus ride of their home, or if we do need the parents to self-transport a short trip, because gas, like everything else, is going up, and car maintenance and all of those can be an issue for our families.
So you do have busing?
We do for about half of our classrooms, yes.
Wow. So a lot going on there. How many people are working at Head Start?
Between 120 and 140 on a good day.
Wow. Yeah. And just like other areas of life in general and on education, that makes me think that maybe sometimes you're a little short on staff.
We are. We're got some assistant positions open now. Bus drivers are hard to find. Teachers with early childhood education degrees are hard to find. So we're working with local colleges and other internship programs to help beef up the supply and raise people up into the early childhood profession.
And I imagine just like you did, taking somebody essentially started at the entry level and helping them move up if they've got the skill set as well.
Yes, we offer hiring opportunities to our parents. That's one of our goals, to hire parents and bring them up through the program. And we have a fairly high percentage, around a quarter of our staff, that started out as parents.
Wow. Well, that really says something. Now, the Roseburg location, which I presume is the biggest, is on the Jerry Bruce Nonprofit Campus, right?
That's right. We're right up by the main UCAN building, and that particular building serves both infants and toddlers and preschoolers. We have 7 preschool classes that go through there a day and 4 infant toddler classes.
So if people have ever been out shopping nearby and see the playground, then that's close to where you guys
are. That's where we are. The playground's attached to our building, yes.
And how helpful has it been to be on that site with all the other agencies?
So it's definitely helped our staff develop relationships with the other programs in UCAN. Our family service educators are the staff that connect families to resources. And so now they know directly who to go to help somebody with housing or weatherization or energy assistance or food insecurity. And that's been very helpful.
So essentially, you're kind of a department. Maybe you guys use different terminology, of UCAN.
Yeah, we're a program. Yep, Head Start and Early Head Start are a program of UCAN, and we also now run a Preschool Promise classroom up in Glide. We're serving 12 children in that community that we've never been able to serve actually up in Glide before, so that's excellent.
So what's different about Preschool Promise versus Head Start?
It doesn't have all of the same multi-generational family service components, but our teacher that is teaching up there is also a family service educator and knows how to get families hooked up to resources.
So what difference do you think getting a head start makes on a child's future development?
Well, research shows that for every dollar we spend on a head start kid, we save 13%, $7 to $9 later in life, keeping them out of juvenile facilities, keeping them out of prison. They're more likely to go on to have college degrees or technical skills training and contribute to society.
So if you've been there, and I just thought of this, if you've been there 27 years, much like a regular public school teacher, you've probably see some of these kids that were there as infants or, you know, very young. You probably see them later on sometimes.
Yeah, so I just had a student that was giving a training, or he was giving a training. He now works for the ESD, and he had come up through the school system and went to UCC and was a student of mine there. And, you know, now he's got his college degree and he's working here.
That's got to feel pretty good.
It does feel good. It's always great to run into somebody that, as an adult, that remembers you from when they were in preschool.
Well, and I suspect that a lot of kids, especially once they get a little bit older, and if they stay in the same community, because a lot of people move around, you know, that comes up pretty often, I think.
Yeah, our teachers run into kids all the time. 8- and 9-year-olds want to come back to preschool because they remember having so much fun. And, you know, we don't sit at desks as much as they do in the older grades. So it's, you know, kids love to run up and hug their teachers, and families stop us and thank us and, you know, remember the great things that we helped them do. And it's a very rewarding profession.
So you really feel like there is a real long-term benefit for a kid going through the program?
Yeah, yeah. They just do better throughout their whole school career. They're much less likely to drop out, to spend time in the principal's office. You know, they meet things like reading benchmarks and higher math scores. And but the most important thing we can do is get them socially, emotionally ready so that when they enter kindergarten, they're ready to learn, not running out the door, hiding under tables, throwing chairs, that they're ready to learn.
And I know from talking to various school officials that, you know, they talk about kids that get to kindergarten that aren't ready. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. So those things that I just talked about, kids really do, you know, they throw chairs, they leave, they, you know, hide, cry a lot. And so we're not very good in our society right now about helping children deal with emotions. And they have lots of aggression. The pandemic wasn't kind to young kids. So just helping them learn approaches to learning, how to handle their emotions, regulate their feelings, all of those, that's the best thing that kindergarten teachers want us to do. They tell us all the time, just get them ready to learn. And if we get some ABCs and math in there, that's great. But if not, kindergarten teachers can teach that if we get them ready to learn.
All right, back with more in a moment. Sean Massengill, Assistant Director for Head Start and Early Head Start at the United Community Action Network. We're going to talk more about child abuse prevention in the second segment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock, Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel at 4. On tomorrow's program, another one regarding Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, and we'll talk to Colleen May from Healthy Families Oregon on tomorrow's program. Sean Massengill from Head Start, the Assistant Head Start Director and Early Head Start Director with the United Community Action Network. Tie in the issue of what you guys do, what services you provide to younger kids, and the whole issue of child abuse prevention.
All right, Kyle. So, unfortunately, in the United States as a whole, every year, more than 4 million kids suffer from child abuse. The research shows that 30% of the child abuse cases in early childhood aren't even reported, even though one is reported every 10 seconds in the U.S. Doesn't say a whole lot good about our society. In Douglas County alone, in 2021, there was 2,649 child abuse reports made.
Wait, how many again?
2,649 total.
Made, not, and then on top of the ones that weren't made.
Right, yes, right. And 329 of those came from schools all across the county. I would say Head Start staff probably, we do about 12 reports a year from something children tell us. A lot of them are domestic violence related, so it's considered child abuse to physically have domestic violence in front of kids. So when they tell us that their parents are fighting, we call those in. Neglect is much more common in our county than physical abuse, but both happen.
So how would you define neglect?
So neglect is when a child cannot get enough food to meet their daily basic nutritional requirements, or they're living in unsafe housing where they're in detriment of being harmed.
Well, and of course, sometimes when we went through the pandemic, food was getting delivered sometimes, mm-hmm. that kind of help available. But also you hear about kids who come back after, you know, a spring break, whatever, and the first place they head is to the cafeteria because, you know, the school has been their main place to eat. And when they're not at school, sometimes they're not getting enough.
Right. So most of the schools in Douglas County provide meals to children in the summer. And during things like spring break, they provide them for any children under 18. They just need to show up with an adult at the van to get meals. So that's been a great thing that our county's involved in. But yes, it's true. A lot of kids get their daily nutritional requirements from schools. At Head Start, we feed them breakfast, lunch, and a snack if they're with us all day. If they're in a 3.5 hour a day class, then they get either breakfast or snack and a lunch. So we're trying to meet over half of their nutritional requirements a day, at least 60%.
And I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily, when you say child abuse, think about a lack of food. But yet, obviously, there's a lot of negatives to not having enough to eat.
Right, yeah. So, you know, if infants are having failure to thrive, that's affecting their brain development. Infants who don't get enough nutrition in the early years, their brains can be affected forever. And once some of that learning's lost, you can't get it back. And that continues on up into preschool and other ages. So kids need to be able to have the right nutrition to be able to learn.
How does your agency work with other agencies to address child abuse and prevention?
So we work with DHS to take on families that might be in jeopardy of losing their kids or in jeopardy of having those kinds of situations. We work with the local parenting hub to provide parent trainings to families on guidance and discipline and how to handle temper tantrums and all those things that kids do that drive us crazy as parents, right? Parenting isn't easy. We work with the Family Development Center. We share families with them sometimes, and they do intensive parent training. We work with WIC to make sure our families who have kids that are age eligible are hooked up with WIC. We work with Healthy Start with our pregnant moms to help get them ready to go and have a healthy pregnancy. So lots of different community agencies working together.
And I would imagine that some of your parent clientele are ones who have gone through their life when they were kids with not very good examples and role models.
Yeah, so we try to invite all parents or guardians to participate, to come in to see their kids in the classroom. We role model different guidance techniques. We have conferences and go on home visits, not to check out homes, but just to be able to be in their environment to role model for them. Our home base families get a visit every week from our home visitors, and their main job is to train parents to be their children's teacher.
Wow, a lot of effort going there. What about training so your staff knows how to do all these things?
So we encourage all of our assistants to have child development certificates and help them work towards that. All of our teachers have associates or bachelor's degrees. Our family service people have bachelor's degrees, and then we just offer training throughout the year with our mental health consultant, with the early learning hub, so that all of our staff are trained in trauma-informed care, in adverse childhood scores and how to help families, conscious discipline for guidance techniques, and just all work together to help these families move forward.
I imagine as, because essentially this is a federal program, right?
Federal and state. Mm-hmm.
So you're getting help, guidance there from state or national level so that if somebody moves somewhere else, they can get similar service from the Head Start there.
Yeah, so we send records with families. Other programs can ask for records from us, and it is federal poverty guidelines. So if they meet the guidelines for Head Start in our county, they'll meet them for Head Start or early Head Start in another county, as long as that county has openings.
So if people want to find out more about Head Start, maybe their child, maybe not their child, maybe they're aware of a family that maybe could use that help and should qualify given the guidelines, how do they get connected with you guys?
So you can go to our UCAN website, www.ucancap.org, and all of our programs are there. So you can click on them and learn more about Head Start. That's how you submit applications for children, for jobs, and all of our UCAN's other programs are there. And then we're at lots of community events, things coming up like the community baby showers, celebrate children out at Wildlife Safari. We'll be there and telling families about our programs.
Sean Massengale from Head Start, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.